left. Fox has it ahead to Fassell, who goes in for the dunk. And the San Antonio Spurs have done it. There will be a new champion in the NBA. A new era has dawned. It's Wemby's West. The Spurs are going to the NBA Finals.
Look at the emotion.
There was the call from the great Mike Tirico last night. The Spurs have sent the champs packing 111-103 in Game 7 in OKC. Welcome to Sports Sunday here on The Fan. Yours truly, El Baldo, in the captain's chair, a.k.a. Steve Zaban. My government name, pronounced Zaban. You know me, Zabe. You can reach me at Zabe on Twitter. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. You can also listen to my podcast 5 days a week, the Zabecast on iTunes and all your prominent streaming platforms. Good to be on JFK today on another glorious weather day in the DMV. We have paid for this stretch of weather in blood, or better yet, in water. Last week, the Memorial Day weekend was such a siege of sort of summer cabin fever, where it just rained and rained and rained, and all anyone wanted to do on that long weekend was get out and recreate and start off summer right, and to go for a nice walk with their dog, or to play golf, or get on their boat, or have a picnic, or go to a ball game. Nope, we got rain. It's going to rain. It's going to keep on raining. And it did. But then finally we punched through, and we are in a glorious run right now as I look at the weather going forward, not to be all Doug Cammer-er here. Today, 73 and sunny, not a cloud in the sky. Tomorrow, 76 and almost entirely sunny. 73 and sunny, 78 and sunny, 83 and sunny, 87 and sunny, 86 and sunny. Next chance of rain, not until Sunday. And that's only a 30% chance, and that could change between now and then. So it's great that everyone is out doing things today. And if you're driving around, going someplace where you're going to do some outside activities, well, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate that. It's just me and my boy Metal Chris holed up inside for the next 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Does it bother you, Metal Chris, that you are working today like I am, indoors for 3 hours?
I mean, not really. I had to work last night as well. but I did have yesterday in the day off, which was cool. I had a big day yesterday. So
good. Good. And did you let that long flowing hair of yours out for a little spin in the nice weather?
Oh, yeah, of course, man. Oh, fantastic. Yeah, so my daughters had a big dance recital, both of them, yesterday, so that was awesome. And then yesterday was Petworth Porch Fest. You know, got to go check out some bands play for free in the street yesterday. It was awesome.
Okay, so did you go to a street metal fest?
No, it's not a metal fest. The Porch Fest is just a... There were some metal bands that played, but...
Where is Porch Fest?
Well, they do different ones in town. Like, Adams Morgan had one, like, a month ago, and then Petworth had theirs yesterday. And it's just, you know, bands just playing on their porches, literally, or that's sometimes in the street hilarious. Or whatever. And, yeah, it's like... They're just local bands and stuff, but it's awesome. You can see all kinds of different stuff. It's not like one genre.
So how far apart are the bands to avoid the cross pollution acoustically from one band to the other?
A couple
blocks. Or do they take turns?
Nah,
a couple blocks?
There's different band, like, I don't want to say stages, but there's different places where bands are playing. And then, you know, there might be one band an hour kind of thing, like at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whatever. And then, you know, you walk a couple blocks in the neighborhood, you'll see another one set up, and it's just kind of like that. So.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. I love it. So, today, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, let me know. Hit me up on Twitter, at Zabe, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. I want to know, where you at, what you hauling, how are you going to enjoy this gorgeous weather yet again? In the meantime, so much to talk about. With the NBA Finals set now, it is a 1999 Finals rematch, Spurs and Knicks. It is an NBA Cup Final rematch. Quick, who won that one? I forget. I think it was San Antonio. I don't track the NBA Cup as closely as I should. It's a 99 finals rematch. It is the best possible rematch. It's the best possible pairing for the league from a casual fan standpoint because of the attraction of Wemby, because of the fatigue of the flopping Thunder. More on that later. And, of course, the Knicks being a marquee team and the second largest market in the league, if not first, depending on how you compare them to L.A., it's as good as it's going to get. Last year's finals were not good from a TV standpoint because it had Indiana, small market, plus OKC, small market, and not exactly the sexiest teams. This is going to hit different. I expect there to be a much more robust rating. Will it be a series, though? That's the big question. Right now, I'm looking at the numbers. New York is plus 170 series price. San Antonio, your favorite, minus 205. If you're new to gambling, here's how it works. You want to bet the Spurs to win the series just in any number of games. To win $100, you have to bet 205. That's the minus part of it. So minus is bad. You're laying more than you're going to win. That means a team is a favorite when they are minus. And everything's based off 100. If you want to bet the Knicks as, okay, I think as the underdog, they can actually win this best of seven, then you're going to get more back per $100. They're plus 170. So, and if you're asking, well, wait a minute, well, what about that 35 points in the middle between the plus 170 and the minus 205? Shouldn't it be? Okay. That's the way the books make their money. It's in that spread right there that they get their juice. So, can the Knicks, who have gone through the East like the proverbial bleep through a tin horn, can they stay hot even though they have been sitting on the back burner with the stove off for several days now since they finished their sweep? In fact, almost over a week, I want to say. Can they reignite that? Was the East a mirage? All good questions, and we're going to find out over the course of seven games, if we're lucky. We were lucky to get seven games in this series, and it delivered last night. I don't know what everyone was doing on a Saturday night. I was home watching the game, tweeting about it. It was big boy basketball. I mean, big time. It was fourth quarter haymaker, haymaker, haymaker. Threes from both sides. More of them by the Spurs. They put on a fourth quarter shooting barrage that buried the champs. And that's what it took to bury them too, because it was still a six-point game with a minute and change to go. They needed a late three, and they just couldn't get it to cinch it to a one-possession game. But it was big boy basketball. It was good stuff. There was flopping. There was some absolutely head-scratching, what are you watching, non-reversals of calls on replay. But it was otherwise a fantastic big boy, high-level, high-stakes NBA contest. And so it came down in part because this is the funniest thing about last night. 6-point lead, Wemby has just picked up his fifth foul. He is in danger, in theory, of fouling out of a game. I say in theory because the NBA doesn't really foul anybody out anymore. It used to be a thing in the NBA. You know, like in basketball, you actually disqualify guys based on number of fouls. Nowadays, coaches are too savvy when it comes to managing guys in foul trouble. Perhaps too premature, in my opinion, taking guys out of games. But also, the NBA didn't want to take stars out of the game, if at all possible. So I don't think he was really in danger of getting his sixth foul and being DQ'd, but just in out of an abundance of caution, Mitch Johnson took him out of the game, and in comes Luke Kornet. Now, for those of you who are just now tuning into the NBA, the NBA playoffs, and I say that with no malice or no agenda, just being honest. A number of people punch in that are casual NBA fans. They may love other sports. They may be a baseball fan at heart, and they kind of dabble in the NBA. They might be all about the football and college basketball, but they'll dabble in the NBA. If you're now punching in, and you were watching the Spurs closely for the first time, I'm going to guess you looked at Luke Kornet and said, What? Who is this guy? Did somebody's 7-foot dad put on a Spurs jersey and manage to wander onto the court? Some guy's dad who once played college ball forever ago. Oh my God, he's this imposter. He's on the court. No. That is Luke Kornet, who played at Vanderbilt. He was undrafted in 2016. But he has some very attractive features as a backup big in the NBA. Attractive feature number one, he comes installed with 6 fouls per game, every game. So use them, have fun. Number two, he is cheap, relatively speaking. You need a big if Wemby gets in trouble. You need a guy that can give you some re and D. There you go, Luke Kornet. And then the third attractive thing about Luke Kornet is sort of like a suburban dad who happens to be 7'1" and gets into a pickup game. He knows how to be Johnny Tryhard. He gives effort because Luke Kornet knows probably shouldn't be in the NBA as an undrafted big out of Vanderbilt. But there was the game hanging in the balance. 6-point lead. I think there was like 4 and change to go. Wemby's out with his 5th foul. The place is on tilt. The Thunder are absolutely buzzing. They create a steal. A breakaway is developing. Hartenstein, who I like as a player, but man, a lot of balls go through his hands, more than I would like. But Isaiah Hartenstein gets the outlet pass. He's a big boy. He's barreling in for what would be a thunderous dunk to send the OKC fans completely into orbit. And here comes suburban 7-foot dad Luke Kornet to meet him at the rim, to meet him at 10 feet 6 inches off the deck at full speed for a block. A block that, let's give the refs at least credit, they could have instinctively said, oh, that looks like contact, that looks like a foul. Let's call it. We're here in OKC. We're going to give the benefit of the doubt to the home team. It's game 7. Nope. Tight whistle. The game had come down. Like, pretty much, if you're watching last night, the final 6 or 7 minutes, you're realizing the whistle is away. Like, they've put him away for the night. Short of a near murder, nobody's going to the line at this point, and that's probably the way it should be. But Luke Kornet goes up. Meets Hartenstein 11 feet off the deck at the rim and says, not tonight, Isaiah, not tonight. Unbelievable play from a little-known role player, part of the mix to get the Spurs through to the NBA Finals. Wemby was great, posterizing Chet Holmgren. Chet Holmgren was terrible. And people immediately after the game, after his 4 points on 4 shots effort, immediately went to the spot track table and said, look how much they're going to be paying Chet Holmgren the next 5 years. Chet Holmgren has been locked into a supermax deal. He's a $50 million player, Chet Holmgren. It's incredible. Bad night for him. Now, that's if he stays a Thunder this offseason. There's another storyline about how Sam Presti now has all these assets. They have, and I couldn't believe this number was true, but I checked it. The Spurs have 13 number one picks between now and 2033. Now, 2033 sounds like forever from now, but it's 2026, people. That's 7 years. They've got 13 first-rounders in the next 7 years. And believe you me, Presti is going to be working the phones this summer, if he isn't this morning, to try to make a deal or two to fortify OKC. They arguably have too many players. And it looks like this Holmgren contract could be a huge mistake. But anyhow, so we'll talk more about yesterday's Game 7, last night's Game 7, the flopping that still exists in the NBA and why it's still a serious problem for Adam Silver, whether he wants to admit it or not. Talk about Wemby's emotions after punching through to the NBA Finals. They begin on Wednesday. The Stanley Cup Final does not begin until Tuesday. So tonight and tomorrow night, people, we're going to have to get creative. For the first time in a long time as sports fans, going to have to get creative. Going to have to lean into baseball. Going to have to open your mind to the WNBA. You're going to have to
go see a movie.
Go see a movie. That would be another one right there. Go see a porch band in a neighborhood near you if there is a porch fest. 800-636-1067 is the number. Coming up, I'll talk to a good friend of mine about a great cause that he is helping organize tomorrow that helps our wounded veterans get back to not just normal life, but thriving through the wonderful game of golf. Next, that's next. We are up and running on a Sports Sunday here on The Fam. Later on today here on Sports Sunday, I'm going to get to Javon Kinlaw's soundbite, his little riff that went viral at OTAs this week, where he apparently used the word S, you know, the bad word, as a comma, and just sort of rattling off all the players on defense that he expects to make sweet music this year for the Commanders. And we hope so, because the defense was S last year. Welcome back. Sports Sunday here on The Fan. Steve Zabin in the chair until 1 o'clock today. Phone number is 800-636-1067. You can hit me up on Twitter at Zabe. Charlie Zulu, Alpha Bravo Echo. Joining us now, a man who has been working with this organization for 20 years and has done incredible work with its founder to help raise money for our wounded warriors to learn the game of golf, get access to courses, lessons, and equipment so they can continue their total recovery, mind and body, through the game we love so much. He is Chris Johnson of the Salute Military Golf Association and also the executive producer of the Commanders Radio Network. CJ, top of the Sunday morning to you, my friend.
Zabe, so good to be with you, my brother.
It is tough to be doing anything other than playing 36 holes of golf in weather like this today, tomorrow, for as long as it lasts. But tomorrow at Norback is your 20th annual charity classic for the SMGA. I'm very much looking forward to being out there. I'm going to be live streaming it on my socials with the Capital Golf Gang guys. Tell me about this event and tell people more about the SMGA who may be hearing about it for the first time.
Well, as you said, it's our 20th, and 2026 is our 20th year. And this was all began back in 2006 here in the D.C. area. And really, it was really just came from Jim Estes and Jamie Winslow. Jim Estes, many people in this area know, is one of the top teachers in the area. But he also played a little bit on the PGA Tour. He's played in several Champions Tour majors. And, you know, very accomplished player and himself, played at University of Tennessee, University of Maryland. And back in 06, had sort of came up with this concept of, after, you know, visiting Walter Reed and seeing the conditions there, of course, you know, right, you know, a few years into the war on terror. And this not only is 20 years SMGA, but incredibly coming up in September, this is the 25th anniversary of September 11th.
Right.
And so 2006, we're, you know, right in the middle of the war on terror and you know, just, you know, tragic injuries happening to our men and women who are brave men and women in Iraq and Afghanistan. And you know, Jimmy couldn't take it. And so he came up with this idea, said, the only thing I know how to do is play golf and teach golf. And we're going to use golf to help to rehabilitate, you know, these injured and wounded heroes of ours. And it started just by getting a couple guys out of Walter Reed and bringing them up to the only golf park in Maryland, just off Georgia Avenue, and teaching them how to play golf and getting them out into the green grass and the blue skies and getting clubs in their hands and teaching them how to play golf. And you know, eventually, well, quickly took off. Those guys would go back into the hospital, and most of those who first started with SMGA had never touched a golf club or even thought about playing right. golf before. You're talking about big, tough guys. And, you know, even in 2006, in the sort of, you know, early years of the post-Tiger era, golf, you know, still wasn't as big as it is now. And so, you know, you had a lot of big, tough dudes and women who were, you know, into other sports and never gotten into golf. And so they were a little hesitant at first, but quickly it took off and we started getting more and more out there. And next thing you know, at Olney, we'd have, you know, over 100 out there on Saturday mornings for golf clinics. And it quickly took off, expanded it to a national organization. And we, basically exactly how you led into it is we have PGA pros throughout the country who teach our post 9/11 wounded soldiers, wounded veterans, how to play golf. And we use golf as a rehabilitative tool for them. And they go through about 12 hours of instruction, and sometimes in a group clinic situation, and sometimes in a one-on-one with a pro, depending on where they're at. And once they complete a full 12 hours of instruction, each veteran receives a brand new set of fully fitted, tailor-made golf clubs, and they get head-to-toe Adidas gear, shoes, bag, tailor-made golf bag, you know, shirt, hat, all of that stuff, so they're ready to go. And, of course, all of this at no charge, the instruction, the equipment, no charge to the veterans. And then SMGA has relationships with public and private golf courses throughout the country that allow our veterans to come out and play for free. And we take them on experiences, places like the Ryder Cups or Pro-Ams, the Masters, you know, events like that. And it's we've really created like an incredible sense of community for our veterans, where they not only receive therapy, physical therapy, out of learning how to play the game of golf, continuing to play the game of golf, but also have created this sense of community where veterans are very comfortable next to other veterans and meeting new veterans and connecting with other veterans. And the success stories are crazy.
Yeah, it's a tremendous organization. And I, too, like you, CJ, have visited Walter Reed back when we were at 980 together and saw our wounded warriors going through unbelievably difficult rehab assignments to try to just get back to functioning and walking and everything else. Playing golf, as we know, is frustrating in and of itself if you are able-bodied. So if you've never played golf and you're a wounded warrior coming home, it's one thing to do it just with a fully capable body, but many of these wounded warriors don't have fully capable bodies. They are missing an arm or a leg or more, and so your pros, your PGA pros, work with them with what they got and with their prosthetic devices to figure out a way to play the game. Talk more about that.
Yeah, we've actually helped develop prosthetics for golf. I mean, we were in the forefront of this, you know, teaching veterans and amputees how to play golf. And we've actually had some of our veterans be, you know, case studies for this and actually work to perfect actual prosthetics so you can play golf. And I mean, gosh, there's so many stories I could tell you about this. I mean, I could tell you about a guy named Sergeant Ramon Padilla, who, you know, many people might have seen on the Golf Channel or seen in the New York Times or the Washington Post. He's played, he's beaten Tiger in a contest, a long drive contest at,
wow,
Congressional, because Tiger may have hit it further, but Ramon's ball was in the fairway and Tiger's wasn't. But Ramon took a RPG to his left arm and another round to his scalp. And when he was leading his guys through an abandoned school and they were stuck in a firefight and he was there, his left arm got blown completely off, and I was about 12 feet away as they're in a 2.5 hour firefight, and they can't get him out of there, and he's awake the entire time. And this is a guy, he's got six kids, he's from East LA, and he's just staring there 2.5 hours at his left arm where his wedding ring's on his left hand, and he's saying, please God, just get me home to my wife and kids. I can see my wife and kids. And they finally get him out of there. and this incredible story to get him out of there. And he gets back to Walter Reed, and after, you know, several surgeries, and you know, as I said, East LA, never played golf before. We get him out and teach him how to play golf, and you know, with his prosthetic, and within 2 years, never playing golf before, he broke 80.
Wow.
On there, you know, and this no left arm, you know, this is playing the ball down everywhere, nothing, no rolling it, no taking it out of the bunker, nothing like that. These dudes are playing it everywhere, playing it down everywhere. And, you know, so that's just one of the stories. I'll tell you a quick one about a guy named Steven who, you know, we have a piece of equipment called a paragolfer. For those who have never seen this before, if a person doesn't have use of their legs or doesn't have their legs, this paragolfer allows them, it sort of has a seatbelt that goes underneath their arms, and there's two remotes, and the one remote allows the seat to stand straight up. So when you stand straight up with the straps under your arms, you're able to freely swing the golf club, and the other remote has sort of one big wheel on the bottom that rotates everywhere, and it's protects green, so you can take it anywhere on the golf course. You can take it onto a green, and it allows someone who doesn't have their legs or doesn't have use of their legs to go to play the great game of golf. Wow. And we have several of these paragolfers throughout the country. And in one particular case, we had a guy named Steven who, as I said before, most of those who had come through our program had never played golf. In this case, Steven had. He was an avid golfer before he suffered his traumatic injury. And so he was back, and he was actually at a Redskins game in another veteran supportive charity suite at the game. And he was sort of sitting over in his wheelchair by himself and, you know, really down and depressed. And a couple of our SMGA veterans happened to be in that suite that day. And they went over and they said, "Hey man, what's going on? And, you know, what do you like to do?" And he said, "Well, I used to like to play golf, but I can't effing do that anymore." And they said, "Yes, you can." Wow. And he said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, we have, you know, we're part of an organization. We have a piece of equipment called a paragolfer." So fast forward a couple days later, his wife brought him out to our clinic on a Saturday morning. I strapped him into the paragolfer, and he was off, man. We went out to the clinic, and we had about 65 veterans out there that day. And he was out there, you know, first time he had a golf club in his hands in forever. And so we typically do about 2 hours of instruction, and then we break for lunch. And so, you know, about noon, I say, "Hey, you know, Steven, it's time to go, you know, in for lunch." And he said, "If you don't mind, I'd like to just stay out here and, wow, you know, keep chipping balls." And I said, "Yeah, absolutely." So I stayed there with him, and he chipped one in from about 30 yards out, pitched one in from about 30 yards out into the hole. And you could see a legitimate golf swing. So we brought him, you know, he eventually came in and had lunch, and his wife was there, and she was in complete tears. And she said, "You know, he's been home for 6 months, and this is the first time that he smiled." And wow, she was, you know, it was incredible. And those are the type of, you know, success stories that SMGA has been able to, you know, put out, deliver, you know, for 20 years.
Yeah, it's tremendous. And it's what the game can do for the soul and for the spirit. And I love the fact that there is nothing that you guys look at and say, "Oh, well, you don't have this or you don't have that. We can't help you." You figure out a way to get it done, sort of like Mr. Padilla figured out a way to get out of that firefight and get home to see his wife and his kids. Beautiful stuff. So tomorrow, 20th annual SMGA Charity Classic at Norbeck Country Club in Rockville. You're not looking for anyone else to sign up right now. You probably already got the T-sheet set and you're good to go. But but you do want to let people know about this organization, and if they have anything they might want to lend to the cause, how to reach out to you, whether it's a golf course that could be volunteered for an upcoming event, or whether it's golf equipment or apparel or lessons or you name it. Here, tell people how they get a hold of you and the SMGA.
Yeah, so you can certainly find us at smga.org, or just Google the Salute Military Golf Association, search for that. You can find us across social media at SMGA Warrior Golf. You can certainly find me at Siege Johnson, CEEJ Johnson, on Instagram or just you know, you'll find me. But we'd love, you know, we'd love for you guys to help in any kind of way. We certainly need donations. We have a waiting list of about 450 veterans across the country right now for what we call our American Golfer Program, and we'd certainly not like to have a waiting list for that. We'd like to clear that out and continue to actively promote and market to our wounded veteran population out there. The demand is crazy. So, you know, certainly donations, sponsorships. Our next big event in the D.C. area is going to actually be on Friday, September 11th. So if you looked for our website, the full event details will be up there by the end of this week coming up. And that'll be an awesome event, and that'll be the next one for people around here to get into. But we hold events throughout the country. Certainly, if you want to donate anything like golf rounds at your local public or private golf courses, that would absolutely, or you want to host veterans in your tournaments or at your club, absolutely reach out to us or to me as well.
All right. Siege, good to talk to you. Are you going to tee it up today or no?
Yeah, we've got some sponsors and veterans that we've got from all over the country in town, and we're about to do it right now.
All right, my friend. We'll talk.
And I'm all for that Javon Kinlaw violent approach that you bring to the table this year.
Yeah, we need it. We need it for sure.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Siege. No, good to talk.
Thanks, Abe.
There you go. Chris Johnson of the Salute Military Golf Association, a beautiful organization founded right here in the DMV. Coming up, a gambling story that's a white whale in scope. I might even believe it. I'll tell you that story next. You're listening to Sports Sunday here on The Fan. It's a hell of a gambling story. It might even be true. I want to stay skeptical just so, you know, I have to stay a little bit skeptical of every story nowadays you see online because there's so much fake stuff out there and there's so many works going on. Welcome back. Zabe here on a Sports Saturday on The Fan. Thank you for joining us. 800-636-1067 is the number. So, did you hear about the parlay guy that had $1.7 million riding on the Spurs last night? Oh, you didn't, huh? Well, let me tell you about this story. A bettor decided back in October, I believe, to put a four-leg futures parlay together for the following things to happen. Michigan wins the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. Team USA wins gold in Olympic hockey. The New York Knicks win the Eastern Conference, and the San Antonio Spurs win the Western Conference. Well, bing, 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 winner, winner, chicken dinner. Now, the parlay was placed at $2,500. That is a significant amount of money for a very long shot series of things to happen. USA was plus 180 to win the gold. Michigan was plus 500 to win the NCAA tournament. The Knicks were plus 330 to come out of the East, and the Spurs were plus 850 when he bet them to come out of the West. Last night before the game, he was sitting on a DraftKings buyout that he turned down to let it ride for $1.7 million. Here is a short snippet of the bettor in question talking to, I'm not even sure who this is, this podcast, but here was his explanation as to why he said, nah, I'm good. Let's let it ride.
What's up, guys? We are here with the Parlay Prince coming into Game 7. $1.7 million comes down to one basketball game. The cash out is set at $612,000 right now. As far as I know, you're not taking it, man. Tell me why.
I mean, Tanner, I said, I saw a better team yesterday in Game 6. I was there. It was absolutely an electric atmosphere. And I was thinking that the cash out would be closer to $1 million. Being that DraftKings set it at $612,000, I think that's fairly low for a one-game winner-take-all. You know, at $1 million, I was considering taking the money, cashing out, and doubling down half of that on the Spurs money line tomorrow. But being that they didn't give that, it's just fate. And we got to believe, we got to keep believing. It's just one more game, as I keep saying, and we're going to let it ride. $612,000 is a lot of money, but it's not something I'm willing to cash out.
Now, a lot of people in the comments are saying, oh, he's definitely hedged already. Have you done that? And there any plans to hedge or no?
There was never a plan to hedge. Just as a sports bettor, I mean, I see where it makes sense at times. But like I said in the beginning and since the beginning, I don't just bet with my brain. I also, you know, bet with my gut, bet with my heart. And I could just never, ever bet on the favorite, you know, flopping Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm an underdog better. I like the underdog. I like the story. I like the, you know, I like the David versus Goliath. And I think that's what we have here. The young, the mighty, the resilient rookies, the young players of the Spurs. And my heart would just never let me side with the Thunder, even if it's for financial gain. I mean, I'm a Spurs guy. I love the Spurs. Like I said, these guys are great. Aside from just basketball players, they just seem like great character guys. And that's a team that I want to be behind, and I am behind, and I stand behind them. So one more win. Let's go Spurs.
All right. Now, look, this guy appears to be a real human being, not AI. He's got the New York accent. He may well have had a parlay similar to this of a certain amount of money. Was it literally $2,500 to win $1.7 million? Maybe. You know, the DraftKings is putting it out like this is real. I don't have access to his bank accounts or the DraftKings software platform to really know or prove that this was the actual amount. I know this. Oh, these gambling companies love parlay stories because they love when you are playing the parlays. That is their most lucrative product. And if you're going to take massive swings at plus 2,500, they'll be more than happy to let you go for it because they're making a hell of a lot more than having to pay out $1.7 million. He also looks fairly young. So unless he is a very rich broker on Wall Street already in his 30s, what kind of degenerate is putting down 25 hundo on a massive underdog four-way parlay on futures bets? That's a monster in the water right there, if true. And again, I say that with all caveats and skepticism. Stay with us. Quick break. We're back with more. It is Sports Sunday here on The Fan. There's a whole bunch of media stories, sports media stories in the mix. Most of them depressing, to be honest. Really talented people getting laid off or entire entities being vaporized. I won't try to dwell on that, but one media note that's kind of neutral news, but I want to let people know because I am a big weather nerd and it's summertime. The Capital Weather Gang, the weather blog that's been part of the Washington Post for almost 20 years, is becoming an independent site and rebranding as Capital Weather. As per a note on the WAPO staff today, the site will contribute to WAPO during major weather events. But yes, I'm glad those guys are at least breaking off, doing their own thing, making sure they've got control of their future because, you know, us weather nerds, we got to band together and say, what the heck is going on here? We do need some more rain, even though we got a week of it. We didn't get as heavy of a rain as perhaps we needed. It's going to be dry for the next 10 days. So, here's a story that I had to stop and go, wait, what? Headline: Oklahoma youth baseball coach banned for life. Wow, got to be something serious. Banned for life after son throws into dugout against Nebraska team. He what? If you watch the video, and of course there is video, it is an insanely dangerous, unsportsmanlike, oh my God, we've lost the plot to sports and sportsmanship and society. as you see it unfold. Apparently, the one coach was frustrated in a youth softball game, 12-year-old softball game. Although this kid on the mound, his son, he don't look like any 12-year-old I ever remember coaching Little League. But in a youth youth baseball game, this pitcher just frustrated, instead of pitching to the batter, turns 90 degrees and fires the ball as hard as he can into the opponent's dugout in an obvious attempt to plunk somebody, to injure someone just sitting there on the other team. What are we – you got to be kidding me. Obviously, a lifetime ban is appropriate. Now, the belief is the coach instructed his son to do so. The son, being 12 and getting a 5-year suspension, kind of pretty much eliminates the rest of his youth career. There are some people that say, you know, we should probably have a bit more leniency for the kid, because when you're that age, you don't fully have autonomy and full confidence to defy what your coach tells you to do, especially if it's your coach is your dad and if he's a psycho dad. Reminds me of the old, very funny but kind of darkly funny skit on SNL with Will Ferrell, where he's screaming at his kid, "Get on the bag! Get on the damn bag! I will beat you if you don't get on the bag!" And he's having beers. Unfortunately, that skit is closer to reality than we want to admit, at least in some parts of the country. Now, there's tens of thousands of youth baseball leagues and games going on at any one time. So eventually, there's going to be one thing that blows your mind. This should never happen, obviously. Luckily, according to the stories I've read, nobody in the opposing team dugout was seriously injured. And, yeah, lifetime ban for the coach and a 5-year ban for the kid. And I would guarantee, and this is what I'm sure would make the story even more depressing, I would guarantee that there are parents on the team with the kid who threw the ball in the dugout who are rationalizing, "Well, you see, you don't know the whole story. You know, you weren't there for the game. They were saying stuff to us, and they were chirping, and their pitcher beamed someone on our team." Just stop, people. We're not going to fire baseballs into opposing dugouts because we're frustrated about how a baseball game is going. Coming up, floppers never prosper except when they do, which some people say OKC did last year and has done for several years. Well, the cat is out of the bag on the flopping, but does Adam Silver have the will, and does he have a plan to put it back in? We shall see. That will lead hour two next on Sports Sunday here on The Fan.